wastewater is basically, I don't know if it's appropriate to call this like an untapped market for investor-owned utilities.
I am Reese Tisdale, and this is Future Water, in which we talk about all the ways which companies, utilities, and people are addressing the challenges and opportunities in water. This is episode 72, and I think it's going to be a good one. Today, I'm talking to Bluefield Research Senior Analyst Isabel Kesman about the U.S. municipal water market landscape and more specifically, our recent analysis on sizing the market for companies and organizations interested in consolidation, for lack of a better way to put it. Truth be told, clients approach us and not infrequently to ask us about the size of the water wastewater sectors in the U.S. for market entries, strategic development, M&A, et cetera. So whether you're a utility, publicly owned, investor-owned utility, private equity, et cetera, well, the magic number is $977 billion. But more interesting about that number is almost $1 trillion is really how we got there. So for this reason, I've asked Isabel to share some of her insights, her research methodology, and how she developed this number, not only nationwide, but state by state, utility by utility, et cetera. So she has some interesting takeaways that will be really interesting to hear about. So before we bring her on, I want to throw out one main thing. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. My colleagues are going to be at ACE 23 in Toronto from June 11th to June 14th. So this is your opportunity to meet with our team of water experts. Don't miss out. Let us know if you're interested in meeting. To do so, you can always send us a note at waterexperts@bluefieldresearch.com. Someone will get back to you with a suggestion of a time, place, and meeting point. So let's make it happen. The ball's in your court. So our team will be there. We look forward to seeing you. So with that being said, let's jump into the conversation with Isabel. All right. I'm joined here today by Isabel Kesman. Isabel, how's it going?
Pretty good. Happy for the long weekend.
Yes, it's Memorial Day weekend. So actually, we're recording this a little bit early before it drops because I'm out of town next week and just trying to get ahead of the holiday. So I can't record next week. So thanks for getting out early. So let's do it and we can all have a long weekend. So let's talk through, in the intro, I gave a little bit of a heads up what we're going to talk about. But one of the things we've been looking at is sort of what's the size of the U.S. utility market overall, you know, whether it be in number of connections, number of systems. But now you've done some recent analysis looking at sort of what is the size of that market in dollar values? So let's set the stage a little bit and we'll dig into details and hopefully it becomes a little bit clearer to everybody. So we've used EPA data. We've acknowledged the flaws of that data. We've got our own data that we've been collecting. So what's the story behind all of this? What are we thinking? How did this all come to be?
Yeah. So as you mentioned earlier, we've had a number of clients approach us about sizing the market for consolidation, and this can support anything from market entry to business development, investment, anything along those lines. But in order for us to do this, there were a couple things that had to happen. The first being we needed to establish a water and wastewater asset base. Then we had to determine our inputs for cost per customer connection. And then the last step was just bringing that all together in a meaningful, thought out way. The biggest challenge here is actually that first step of establishing the asset bases, because as you've hinted at in the question, the underlying EPA data that we work with and other professionals in the sector work with, it's, you know, the baseline data for the water industry, it has its limitations. And so we definitely spent a lot of time making sure that we felt good about our asset bases before we could jump into the cost per connection and the whole market sizing exercise.
Yeah, I mean, admittedly, this has been a bit of an evolution over time as we get a better understanding, of client needs. So why don't we sort of, let's start with that. Like, you know, what do you mean by the limitations for the water, wastewater data, and sort of walk us through that?
Yeah. So for starters, The U.S. water data that we get from the EPA Safe Drinking Water Act database, we kind of describe it as being apples to oranges with the wastewater data that we can pull from the EPA. And this is basically because the water data is reported at the system level. We always look at the community system level, whereas the wastewater data is at the permit or facility level. And this is basically because what the Clean Water Act needs is monitoring of discharge, and the discharge happens at the permit facility level. And then on top of this, the wastewater data, as far as I've seen, and you know, I've had client conversations as well, it's definitely more difficult to work with. It's less transparent, and it's just not as clean as the water data. We actually at Bluefield, my colleague Charlie and I, we have two separate methodologies just for cleaning up our wastewater asset base. We have one for isolating the relevant facilities that treat municipal wastewater, because that's what we're after here, is the municipal market. And that includes those privately owned facilities that treat municipal waste, not just the publicly owned treatment works, which is kind of the number you've seen thrown around, but there are privately held facilities that are just as important. So we spent some time capturing that. And then the second methodology that we have for this wastewater base is estimating population served in connections. And we pull in a couple different sources, but we use the flow information and the Clean Water Needs Survey. And, you know, we've just spent a lot of time making sure those connection estimates are the best that we can do, because you can't currently get those metrics from the EPA. But our understanding is that, you know, if we can estimate connection count or we can estimate population, then that's a way for us to help close that gap between the water and wastewater data and hopefully make it more comparable and user-friendly, especially for our clients and their teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think what this exercise has done, and we've done this in different ways over time, and I think, like I said, we've gotten better at this, both through a combination of questions to us being proposed to us, but also just our own understanding of what's happening in the space. And so a lot has come out of this, which is really interesting. So let's just kind of stick to the basics a little bit, but how many systems now are we talking about? How many people are served? So give us some high level numbers of what we're talking about as far as sort of the landscape.
So our total addressable market data set has 48,587 community water systems. We did decide to exclude a few wholesalers of water because we were looking at connection count and population, and it was just a little, there were some discrepancies about whether it was the wholesale or the residential population being reported. So we definitely cleaned that and sorted through it. And so we're looking at almost 50,000 systems, just under. And these facilities cumulatively serve 313 million people. Or I guess another way to think of it is about 90% of Americans. So on the wastewater side, we have a little bit over 23,000 treatment plants, both publicly owned and privately held. And we've isolated these as treating, again, domestic wastewater. So we've tried to exclude any ones that are exclusively industrial, because we're definitely looking at the public municipal market. And our estimates, the Bluefield estimates for population served, come in at about 270 million people, which is about 75% of the U.S. population.
So all in, we're talking how many people, how many connections total do you think?
Our number is 183 million customer connections.
Okay. And one follow-up to that is also, you know, obviously we have investor-owned utility clients, we got public sector clients, we have clients who are interested in both sides of that equation. What's the split between public and private?
Yeah. So when we talk about public and private, there's basically two ways to look at it. You can look at it by the number of facilities or systems owned, but you can also look at it by, you know, the percentage of the population served. And so when we're talking number of facilities, there's actually a fairly even split of those, you know, 72,000 systems that we're talking, a fairly even split between public and private ownership leans a little bit towards public, but, you know, 45-55%. But when we think of it in terms of those 183 million customer connections, 90% of those, and that's, you know, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little more, but I'm going to go with 90% of those are part of publicly owned systems. So I guess another way to think about this is just, you know, we have a very highly fragmented market, and there's a high volume of very small and small systems, you know, ones that serve less than 3,300 people. But there's a good chunk of these that are under private ownership, or at least identify as being privately held. So I think that's a good, you know, overview of what the US market looks like.
Yeah. And I would say as a whole, though, I mean, a step beyond this, maybe next level of the data, which we can dig into a little bit, but in a second, that is, but, you know, we talk about, you said, you know, 10 or so percent, we'll say 90% is publicly owned, 10% or so water, wastewater is privately owned. But of that, really, we'd spend a lot of time looking at like leading IOUs, like investor in utilities, like the American Waters of the world, the Cal Waters, San Jose Waters, Eversources or Aquarian, depending on how you want to label them, et cetera, et cetera. We look at these firms, but they represent closer to like 6%, right? I mean, of the total. So it's actually a smaller share than even oftentimes they're even getting, I guess, credit for. So I think that was a really interesting, good takeaway from all of this. But one of the reasons for this exercise getting even a little bit further is, what's the size of the market? So by that, you know, when we talk about, you know, the total addressable market for market entrants or companies looking at the utility space, what's the size of the market? What are we talking about?
Yeah. So I guess this would help to, you know, frame it a little bit, but once we established that asset base, the next step in our process was to leverage our investor and utility merger and acquisition database, which is part of what our private water team works on. So we go through, we collect any mergers and acquisitions of water and wastewater systems, and we're tracking the purchase price, the size of the system, all that stuff. And so what we did is we use that data set to determine an appropriate cost per connection or appropriate cost per connection multipliers based on what companies and investors have historically been paying to acquire water and wastewater systems. And so once we integrated these inputs, the magic number we got to was $977 billion. And I guess now that I throw that number out there, I think it'd be good to explain kind of our thought process behind it. So this is our theoretical cost of buying those 183 million customer connections based on the average growing prices we've seen reflected in that M&A data set. Obviously, this doesn't take into account, you know, the health of the infrastructure, and we don't mean it to be an appraisal per se, but we want it to be thought of more as a reflection of the scale of opportunity for utility ownership or consolidation. So perhaps you're trying to develop a strategy for how or when to enter the market. This is supposed to be a perspective on that. And as far as I know, it's one of the first times there's been any sort of market size for consolidation opportunities.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. I mean, there are a couple of things that I sort of hung on, as you said, that one, the appraisals. I mean, the advantage we have is we've got 1,200 plus transactions in our M&A data set for investor and utilities. So we're able to look at the size of the systems, what were people paying, was the acquisition target privately owned, publicly owned, was it a fair market value state or not? So when you said appraisals, I thought first thing that came to mind was fair market value. There are, what, 13, 14 states that have fair market value policies of varying approaches. So I thought that was really interesting. So I think what you and Charlie have been able to do is really kind of identify nuances in the data, particularly as we combine the transactional value to the overall market as a whole. So with that being said, what else can you tell us about that $977 billion, how it splits out across those key considerations, things like geography or states, ownership type, system size, et cetera?
Yeah, so our market splits out 51% water and 49% wastewater. So pretty even between the two asset types. it probably goes without saying, but the biggest states have the highest values. So we're talking California, Texas, Florida, New York, and Illinois. I'd say they represent almost half, probably about 40% of that total addressable market. And yeah, to circle back to your point about fair market value, when making the inputs for cost per connection, we looked at different cuts of the data from the IOU M&A data set. And, you know, one takeaway is that larger systems, the cost per connection for them is more expensive than a smaller system. So in our market sizing, we reflected this type of weighting, and the market has a lot of large municipal owned systems. And so as a result, they make up the majority of the total addressable market.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting and a good takeaway, because one of the takeaways that we see in our M&A data as a whole is most of the M&A activity are for small, I think maybe even I already mentioned this, are for typically small systems, like 60 to 65-ish percent of the M&A activity is really for small, very small systems. As part of the exercise, one of the outcomes was obviously combining the M&A, but you also have some idea of ownership of all of these systems, actually a really good idea now, you know, state by state, IOU by IOU. So any identifiable trends there, anything that comes out of that exercise?
Yeah, so we spent a good deal of time trying to determine which systems belong to what we like to call the leading investor-owned utilities. But what we mean by that is just companies that have clear strategies for expansion, or, and you know, there's a few that are just the one super large system. Great Oaks in California is the one that's coming to mind. But other than that, you know, these are the ones that we're seeing in our IOU M&A data set, or they're just, you know, the super large publicly traded ones. So we've identified, and I don't have the exact number, but I'm going to say close to 3,000, 4,000 systems under leading IOU ownership. We mentioned this earlier, but these leading IOUs make up about 5-6% of the total market. So 5-6% of those 183 million connections. So we're not talking about a huge, huge chunk of the total addressable market. And within that, American Water Works, the largest investor-owned utility in the U.S., makes up about 40% of the leading IOU share. They lead in water, they lead in wastewater. They really are the ones that have the largest systems, I'd say. So I think that's part of the reason why they definitely lead right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody looks at them. They're basically the 800-pound gorilla that when it comes to private ownership in the U.S. But when you look at some of the financials and other, are there any other trends you see as far as like, are they moving towards certain states? Are they moving towards water or wastewater? Any other things that you see when you look at the combination of the addressable market data, but also the M&A data?
Yeah. So one interesting thing that we looked at for the report that's associated with this data set is how does the water wastewater split break down for each investor-owned utility? And one thing that we noticed, and I wouldn't say that we had really thought about this necessarily before the report, but our newest players to the private leading IOU space, a higher percent of their total connections are wastewater connections as opposed to some of the more well-established players. So I'm specifically talking about Central States Water Resources and National Water Infrastructure, both based in Louisiana, Missouri, that region, the South, and they have majority wastewater connections as we've captured in our data set, which I think speaks to something else we've been hearing about, at least, is that there is an interest in this group of players to target wastewater assets and start building up that share of the market. Because, you know, of that 5-6%, we're talking, you know, 7% of it is water and 1% wastewater. So we're averaging out to like 5 or 6, but wastewater is basically, I don't know if it's appropriate to call this like an untapped market for investor-owned utilities. And I don't know if that's just because historically water has been the focus, or that water is easier. Like, I can't speak to why historically that's been the case, but we are seeing new market entrants jumping in the wastewater side, which, you know, we're going to keep following that, obviously. But in terms of the M&A data, we are starting to see some larger wastewater systems, specifically in Pennsylvania, where American Water and Essential are active, start to go into the dockets for acquisition. But the data doesn't necessarily show any clear trend yet. But I personally think that there's a trend there. It just hasn't, you know, formulated quite yet.
Yeah, I mean, I know when we go through the financials, we see things like, hey, we're going to start, like Aqua has said this in the past, we'll start buying, looking for larger systems and or wastewater systems. At least there's been noise around that. I mean, quite honestly, I mean, as we in Pennsylvania, there's also some recent pushback for some of these large systems, you know, particularly if they're municipally owned. So I think that's really interesting. I'm also curious, and I don't have an answer to this right now, new market entrants. So I just think of firms like NW Natural, to a lesser extent, Liberty. Let's say NW Natural, they're a gas player. You know, is there an advantage to getting into wastewater and having at least an asset base from which they can start thinking about things like renewable natural gas and other less carbon intensive approaches? Because they have a natural gas business, they may be looking for offsets in one way or another. That might be a stretch at this point, but I think it's interesting to kind of see what they're doing. So the wastewater, your wastewater point and large system point is valid and really interesting. Well, anything else to add? I mean, you sort of walked us through from methodology, some of the key takeaways, size of the market. Any other little tidbits that came out of this exercise?
Yeah, one thing that I was just thinking about too, thinking back to the report, of the 300 largest wastewater treatment plants that we have in our data set, they're all publicly or federally owned, whereas some of these investor-owned utilities have some very large water systems, specifically in California. If you think about, you know, Cal Water, San Jose, American Water, there's large water systems under private ownership, but we aren't seeing too many of that. Besides, I think the largest one right now is the York City Sewer, which was acquired by American just last year. So definitely watching wastewater in the private water space. Other things about the data set that I think are important to add, we want to recognize that, you know, consolidation is just one path to improved water and wastewater services. There's other options, you know, public-private partnerships, municipal annexes, or, you know, third-party operations and maintenance contracts. There's a lot that can be done. We're also seeing cooperatives such as EJ Water, private equity involvement. But, you know, we have 72,000, we're talking 72,000 water systems and wastewater treatment plants. There is a need for consolidation, and I don't think we shy away from saying that. But we recognize, you know, it doesn't have to be like private. It can be publics acquiring smaller privates. It's just, you know, it's really about getting that scale to a more manageable place where we can make those infrastructure upgrades. We can comply with the new PFAS regulations coming down the federal landscape. There's a lot that needs to happen to make sure our systems are in the best shape possible and that we're all getting the quality of water that is needed and deserved. So we're really following consolidation as an opportunity for all of our clients, basically.
Yeah, no, I think it's really interesting. I mean, I think to your point, the part of this exercise was not to say, hey, there's $977 billion worth of assets out there, go buy them. It was, hey, if you're developing a strategy, and that can come from a lot of different angles, like what is the size of that market as a whole? What's at least the strategic value of it, state by state, system size by system size? Also, the advantage is we also have some trends. You know, we have, you know, M&A or value transaction dollar trends over time. Is it rising? Is it increasing? We also track things like rates, you know, rate cases and what the impacts are there. There's a lot happening. We spend a lot of time focusing on this, probably more than anyone wants to think about. But I thought this was a really great exercise, that a great research exercise that has a lot of value. So the system data is available to our municipal service clients. But if you're looking at things like the dollar value for consolidation, that's available to our private Water Insight clients. We've got the M&A deal flow, and also just, you know, number of connections by IOU, state by state, system by system. I think there's huge value there.
Yeah, I find that to be, having the list of all of the systems or treatment plants owned by the IOUs, I find that to be super helpful. I guess if you're a private water company, for obvious reasons, it's helpful. But also, you know, what if you're a pipe distributor, manufacturer, and you are looking to partnership with maybe an investor-owned utility that has a 14, 12 state footprint? You know, we can tell you where all of their systems are and what states they're operating in, and also what systems they're going to be operating based on the mergers and acquisitions. So I'm very excited about this report, this data. So happy I could come in and share.
Yeah, no, I think you did a phenomenal job on it. I'm super psyched about it. I mean, you've heard me get excited about it from week to week. So it's finally delivered. We got a report coming out in a week or two. We've got the data dashboards, which are up and in draft, but those are going to be released to clients imminently. So good on you for pulling all this together. And thanks to Charlie Seuss, who's also in the background working on this as well. So with that being said, thanks for all the time. Thanks for the time on the report and the data, but also just for jumping on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, Isabel. Well, I know you got more meetings coming up. So I'm looking out a window, seeing people file into a conference room for a meeting I think you're supposed to be at too. So I'll let you, I'll set you free. And thanks, man. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks. See ya.
See ya. All right. There you have it. So that was fantastic. Thanks to Isabel for the time. Like I said, this has been really hard work. It's been really interesting digging into the nuances of the space. Like I said, admittedly, we're pretty transparent about how we go about things here, not trying to hide anything. So her willingness to share sort of from bottom up the challenges that we face, but also the outcome of the analysis and in the model development has been helpful. So before we sign off, if you're in Boston, let us know. We can set up a meeting at our location. It's downtown, a couple of minutes. It's a 2-block walk from the train. It's, you know, 10 minutes from the airport. It doesn't get any easier if you're in the Boston area. But also, like I said at the outset of this recording, if you're going to be in Toronto from June 11th to 14th, set up a meeting with us. Last chance. We're running out of time to set up those meetings. And for this podcast, please subscribe, give us a review, send us a note to waterexperts@bluefieldresearch.com with any topic ideas you'd like us to discuss. Like I always say, we're doing this for you. And lastly, tell a friend about it, because I like friends. So why not give them something to listen to maybe over a long holiday weekend? And this podcast and these water industry insights have been brought to you by the one and only Bluefield Research. To learn more about us, visit us at bluefieldresearch.com. Till we talk again, be well, be safe, and take care.